Are you guys as excited as I am to kick off a new series this morning? Come on, more than that, I'm excited. We get into getting God's word today. It's gonna be awesome. If you don't know me, I'm Jamie. I heard that. That was the Magnusons over there. I'm the Thriving Families pastor here. So that means basically I get to hang out with kids, youth, young adults, parents, families. I kind of oversee that ministry, so pretty much I have the best job on staff. So if you haven't met me yet, sometimes I'm running around on a Sunday morning, but I want to meet you, so feel free to stop me and say, hi, I'm so-and-so. It won't bother me in the slightest. It'll actually make my day. So make sure that you come and say hi to me. Well, it's been a bit since I've been able to speak in front of you guys, right? Because I'm with the youth every week. Sorry, youth. I know you get me on Sunday nights, and then you're like, why are you here on a Sunday morning talking to us? But we do have a special guest tonight, and you could probably figure out who's going to be speaking. Aren't you happy to see Emily and Gavin back on stage? I mean, I don't know about you, but that like filled me up, and man, I loved it. It was awesome. I do love being here. I love being with you guys. Youth is great too. Usually I say, you guys have more attention. Your attention is just better than the youth. But their worship is pretty awesome. Yet this morning, I don't know. I felt like we had it and it was bumping in here this morning. You may or may not know that PC and Lisa are on sabbatical. We're excited about that because in July every year, we give them this time to pause from their normal routines and responsibilities here at the church. That way they can have a different type of time with God. This time, it just fills them up. It helps to restore them. It helps to, you know, just fill their cup so they could fill ours. PC always comes back with like 7 topics. He's like, we're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about this. And he has all of these awesome ideas when he comes back. He also has like a new vision for the church. And he's like, we're going to go this way. And I had this great idea. And it's so cool to see how God restores him during this time frame. So if you remember, just remember to be praying for him and Lisa that God just uses this time and really just fills them up during this month. But that also means that Pastor Dan, Pastor Jared, and I are here and we're going to take things over for a little bit, if that's okay. We wanted to do it a little bit different than normal. So this whole month, we're going to be spending the time in Philippians. Just Philippians. Not just Philippians, Philippians chapter 2. We're literally spending this month in Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to do a deep dive into God's amazing word. You guys really willing to live and breathe Philippians with me this month? Okay, good, awesome. Today we're going to be in chapter 2. If you have your Bibles, you can grab those out. We'll need those in a minute. Philippians chapter 2, I'm going to have the scripture on the screen. If you're following along online, you could check the notes. It'll be in there for you too. But we're going to start with prayer. Lord, thank you so much for the word this morning. I pray that anything that's of me, that you drop it, that I don't say it, and let it only be of you, only what you want to speak to us today. I pray that we hear your heart, that we catch the vision that you've given us through your word, Lord, and that we can leave just changed people, going out and making a difference in this world, sharing your gospel, sharing your love with everyone that we meet. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So before we get started in Philippians 2, I want to share a story. I usually share stories with you. I don't know how long you've been in the church. If you've been in the church for a long period of time, there's a good chance that you've experienced hurt by somebody. We usually call those like church wounds, right? If you've ever heard that terminology, church wounds. I can think of a few big ones in my life that have really affected me, some that have taken over a decade to work through, to pray through, to get a healthier perspective on it. Some of you guys may have not grown up in the church. It was like taboo to talk about God. It was taboo to talk about the Bible. Others of you, maybe you grew up and you were a Presbyterian. Maybe you came from a Baptist background or Catholic or Pentecostal, there's so many different backgrounds, yet we're all here this morning, and we're all worshiping the same God. Amen. You have some of us who are over here, and like, I'm jumping around, I'm like, woo! And you know, I grew up Pentecostal, so that's what I do. Lots of jumping around, because when I lift my hands, I'm surrendering to God. And then you have those of you who are standing there, and you're singing, or you might even be singing in your head, because you're just contemplating what this word means and you're worshiping God and you could feel it, but it doesn't look as expressive, and that's okay. There's not a wrong way and there's not a right way to do it. As long as our hearts are unified together and we're focusing on God. The problem is, not all churches do that. And that's where we get these church wounds. I spoke to someone this week who had some major church wounds, and I was reminded of them because they popped up on my social media, and I had been praying for them, and then I see this person a couple days later, and I felt like God was just affirming, like, this is what we're talking about today. Because to be the body of Christ, we need to be unified. We need to be working together. We need to make it so we don't have these big wounds that happen. Most of the people, when I think about them, the ones who have helped contributed to my hurt, they're not bad people, right? When I actually, I mean, in the moment, they were very bad people. I was so hurt. I was devastated. I was distraught. But they're not actually bad people. Maybe they thought they were doing their best to help. Maybe in that moment, they woke up and they were just thinking about themselves. They had a lot going on. And then they approached me, but their heart and their head were in different places. Or maybe they thought they were using what they thought Christianity should be, and they're trying to make that happen. And it doesn't make them bad people. I know I've hurt people before. I might have hurt someone in this room. If so, I'm sorry. I try to make amends now when that pops up. I try to do it faster so I'm not waiting years to do it. Because I could think of times when I was a kid and I had hurt someone and I look back and I may never see that person again. Or there may be people that I don't even know about, right? And I hate that. I hate that I've hurt people, but I know that I have. And if we're being honest with ourselves, when we wake up in the morning, are we thinking about what the day is going to look like? What our schedule is going to look like? All of the things on our to-do list. Maybe work is stressing us out and we're already dreading going into work, and that's what we're thinking about. Maybe we have a cold and we just feel awful, so we're thinking about ourselves the whole time about how we have to push through the day, and I can't even, like, I need tissues wherever I go, and it feels terrible. And we're not thinking about others. We're not thinking about how we can best serve others, how we can best love others. We're thinking about ourselves. And that in itself isn't bad, but it can lead to hurt when we're thinking about ourselves first. And hurt can really hurt. Philippians 1:27 says, "Above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ." So yes, we experience hurt in the church. Yes, we might hurt others too. But do you realize, can you throw that verse back up? We're supposed to live. Yes, you could keep going. Was there more on it? Yes. "Then whether I come and see you again or only hear about you, I will know that you're standing together with one spirit and one purpose, fighting together for the faith, which is the good news." We're supposed to be unified together. We're supposed to be standing together as a group. We're supposed to share the good news of Jesus through our actions. They're supposed to know who Jesus is more because of how we interact with each other. That's what this is telling us here. That's what the church is supposed to look like. So if you have your notes, you could go ahead and fill this in, the first blank. "For the church to stand in a manner worthy of the good news, my citizenship matters." My citizenship matters. Okay, day and a half ago, we just had the fourth. Okay, so before you go and grab your hot dogs and your pickup trucks and everything, and we celebrate that, that's not the kind of citizenship that he's talking about here, is it? No, because he's talking about the citizenship of heaven. And with the citizenship of heaven, there are particular values that go along with it. We're going to jump in today and we're going to look at what it means to be a citizen. We're going to look at the Greco-Roman world that these people in Philippi lived in. We're going to put on our goggles, our Greco-Roman goggles. We're going to slide into the sandals of Paul and we're going to walk around. You guys ready? Okay, so Philippians 2, go ahead, open up there. We are in a Roman colony. It is modern day Greece. It is Philippi. Do you have the map of this? If it made it in. Did the map make it in? Hey, I made it. Yay. Awesome. You guys are great. So you could kind of see, so here's Philippi. I could say Italia from back when this is Macedonia, kind of northern Macedonia. You have Philippi here. So this is the people group that he's sending this to. This colony, you could just keep this up while we're talking about it. Philippi, modern day Greece. What was going on at this point in time is that this colony was founded with Roman veterans. Basically, they fought in the war, and then they all retired, and they went to live on this colony. So you can imagine that Roman citizenship was kind of a pretty big deal here. You get legal rights, you get social rights, all of these things if you are a Roman citizen, and the people here would have been really strong Roman citizens. It was kind of like their identity, much as our identity. Just think of a couple days ago when everyone's wearing red and blue and stripes and stars and talking about freedom and singing songs about freedom, and we love it so much. We're like, yeah, and then we blow up things because we love our freedom so much, right? We're like, we're American. Today I see lots of people in red, white, and blue, right? We're American. So this was kind of their identity. We're Roman. We're Roman citizens. We have privileges. We have rights. And that's what needed to happen at that time, because the Roman Empire was huge. It took over Asia Minor. It was North Africa, Europe. It was spread out all across. So they needed a unifying factor. So this Roman citizenship gave them that. They got these privileges. They got these rights. They got this identity. It helped the emperor to kind of keep control over everything. However, their values are different than the citizen of heaven, right? Being citizens of heaven, their values as a citizen of Rome are much different. At that time, we call it the Roman Imperial Cult. That's what we talk about it like now. They would have just known it as the Roman Empire. So Roman Imperial Cult. They had freedom of religion, which is pretty cool, to an extent. You can worship whichever god you wanted as long as it didn't interfere with the worship of the emperor at the time, because they believed that their emperor was a god. So they were really trying to follow their emperor at the time. Do you guys happen to know who the emperor was? I think I heard one of them, Nero. Remember him? Before we get to Nero, let's look at our passage here. So we have Philippians 2, 1 through 4. Therefore, if any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common language in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being in one spirit, and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others. Each of you to the interests of others. The values in this society that Paul is calling them to, the values in this society, we see unity, being of the same mind. We see selflessness. We see humility. We see looking and valuing others as more important than yourself. And those values would have been in stark contrast to Rome, because humility in Rome was actually viewed as a shortcoming. It was viewed as a shortcoming. So here, Paul's calling them to this way of life, and Rome is saying, like, no, this is how you need to grow. You need your status. You need to be one of the best. Paul was calling them into alignment with the right citizenship. But Nero didn't like that. Can we think why Nero wouldn't like that? He was greedy. He wanted all the power. He wanted people to worship him. He didn't want anything to come in his way, and he wanted to take over the world. His mission was to take over the world. He would kill people, whoever came into his way. He killed his mom. He killed his own mom. He ended up killing Paul, ended up killing Peter. It was rumored that he killed both of his wives, one who was with child. Like, he was a dark, devious person, anyone who would come in his way. The complete opposite of the kingdom of heaven, who says to lay down your own life for others, just like Jesus did. As a church, we've got to check where our loyalty lies. What are our values? How important is it that we can say whatever we want? We love free speech, right? But when it comes at the cost of being harsh and brash and just we say we're speaking it like it is, or putting whatever opinion we have on social media and or slamming someone else who has a different opinion than us, are we putting others before us? Are we valuing them? No, we're not. What about this idea that we have of trying to make your family, you yourself, grow in your business? Everything's progressing. Everything's trying to move forward, move up the ladder, right? I want my kids to go to the best school possible. So when they're 2 years old, I'm trying to put them in competitive soccer so that they can be on this team and then this team and this team, so that by the time that they're in college, that they can get a scholarship, they can go to the best college, right? Is that, I mean, yes, it's others because it's your family, but you're just thinking about your own family's progression, right? That's your main focus. When we're focusing in on that, it's hard for us to focus on others around us. And these things aren't bad necessarily in themselves, but I'd say that they align more with American ideals than they align with kingdom ideals. So point two, for the church to stand in a manner worthy of the good news, I need to rely on God's sufficiency. I need to rely on God's sufficiency. At this point in the church, Paul's writing them a letter. There had been some prominent female leaders. Now, this was common in Greece. It was actually very common for females to have leadership roles. This church was actually founded by Paul and some women who would just meet by the river. They didn't have a place where they could go and worship. They didn't have a Jewish synagogue, so they would go and meet by the river. So they were the ones that helped to fund the church too. So they were very profitable and everything, but there became some issues and some bickering in the church. There was envy, there was strife. Chapters 1, verse 15, it talks about the envy and strife that was there, that was developing between them. And it wasn't divided yet, but he saw that this could lead to the road of division, where these women were worried about their own status and they're worried about their own place in the church, and it was starting to divide them. And he's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. As someone who loves you, we got to talk about this. And we know that Paul has this sweet love with this church. So if you look at Corinth, if you look at Galatians, Ephesians, you look at all of these other letters, Paul's a lot more direct, kind of more harsh with them. And then Philippi, he has like this loving relationship with them, like, because I care, if there's any compassion, if there's any love, he has a pastoral heart. Theologian Gordon Fee says that you can see his pastoral heart come through and shine through in the way that he approaches them. Philippi was the only church that was sending him money, that was helping to support him on this journey. So they had this loving relationship, and this is what he tells them. He encourages to do nothing, verse 3. Do nothing out of vain conceit. Is it popping up? Boop, 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 boop. We don't have it? Okay. Well, I'm going to go over it again. You could throw up the other verses again. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. Because there's not room for competitiveness. There's not room for anger and strife and this fighting that's going on. There's not room for that in the kingdom of heaven, right? There shouldn't be any kind of selfish ambition in this kingdom. When we look at the Greek word here, the selfish ambition, it's erethein, and it's the idea that there's no concept of service. There's no service in you. So when we are not thinking about serving others, that's erethein. That's a selfish ambition. When our position at work, with friends, with family gets threatened, what is our go-to response? It's usually to do something about it, right? We want to fight back. We want to prove our point. We want to give excuses. We want to say or justify what we did and why we did it. That's what I do. I'm like, oh, but actually, you could even ask Jared, oh, but I did it because of this. I did it because of this. I'm trying to justify my actions. It could even turn worse, right, when you're with people, coworkers. People can start lying. They can start spreading rumors. It could get really ugly. Have you been a part of that? Yeah, I hate that. I hate when it gets ugly like that. That's Erythaean. The problem is, there shouldn't be competition when it comes to God's kingdom. When I was in Bible college, there was a professor. He was kind of known, so again, a Pentecostal Bible college. He would get words of knowledge for students. And you might be thinking, oh, okay, was it really a word of knowledge from God? Well, I had it happen twice to me, right? You might just be in class and they're talking about atoms and you're talking about the difference in atoms, and then he'd stop and be like, okay, there's someone in here who blah, 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 and he'd have a word from God. He was very receptive like that. Well, this happened to me twice. Both times were right on. If you've known me for a long time, I get really bad neck pain. I've had neck pain throughout my whole life. And he called me out one time. He's like, all right, it's someone on this half of the room. It's a female. And like, people are lifting their hands up and slowly their hands are going down. It's someone who gets migraines, hands are going down. And it came to, so this person has had muscle spasms in their neck. I'm the only one with my hand raised. And he's like, all right, God wants us to pray for healing, so let's go pray. Everyone gather around and started praying. The second time this happened, that was pretty cool. I laughed and I was like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. Second time this happened, he said, talk to me after class. I said, okay. So I go up after class and he shares, he's like, I got this picture of you. You're really soft on the outside, but on the inside you're firm. Like, approachable, people can approach you, but then you have this firmness in you, which is good. But I also see something else. You get thoughts in your head. And when you get these thoughts, they keep ruminating over and over. You keep thinking of the situation over and over in every way. What did I say? What did I do? Did I do something wrong? Did I do something right? And you're driving yourself crazy. You can't go to sleep at night. You just keep on thinking about it because you're so worried about what other people are going to think or what they thought of you. He's like, you got to stop. Because when you get married, it's not going to help in your marriage. And two, it's not going to help in ministry. And I was like, oh, because that's true. All of it was true. I will ruminate on something for so long because I'm so worried that someone might view me a certain way and that I won't be good enough and I won't be accepted, right? I won't be worthy of love if they think of me a certain way, so I have to do this and this so that they will accept me. And he's saying, you've got to drop that. But in those moments, I wasn't purposely trying to hurt anyone, yet what was I thinking about? It was all about me, me, me. I can't serve anyone else like that, right? That's thinking of myself first, and there's no room in there to serve others. Here in Philippi, these leaders felt threatened, right? They felt threatened, and they had to kind of fight for their own place and their own positions. But rather, Paul says humility. Value others above yourself. The Greek in this word, I was looking into it. I'm like, what does it mean for humility? What does that really mean? And it's twofold. One, you recognize your own insufficiencies. So I'm not perfect. I'm not good enough. I can't do it on my own. I lack here. I lack here. I lack here. Recognize your own insufficiencies, but also recognize the sufficiency of God. I am lacking. I am not perfect on my own. God is perfect. God loves me. God covers me. He fights my battles for me. Amen? We don't need to stay here. Like, yes, we have our own sufficiencies, but that's okay because God has me covered. I can rely on God's sufficiency for me. I don't need to fight for you to get approval by you. I don't need to keep thinking about these things and how I could have changed something to get approval by you because God already approves of me. And when I think about this a little bit further, Jesus was sufficient on his own. He didn't lack sufficiency. But even though he was sufficient on his own, he still laid down his life. He still did that. So that's the example that I want to follow. Point three, for the church to stand in a manner worthy of the good news, I have to sing the harmony. I'm not a singer. I have to sing the harmony. How many of you guys are musical? Let's see. Even throughout your life, maybe in high school, how many of you guys, you played in a band, you sang, something like that? Okay. Hands down. How many of you guys watched American Idol? Have in your life? 15 years ago, that was my jam. I was watching American Idol all the time. I loved it. My favorite were the auditions, right? Because you have those that you're like, ooh, I like this one. They're going to go far. I like this one. They're awesome. You pick out your favorites, but then you have the awful ones that they just push through so that you could be entertained. And my favorites, this will always be the old man who did like the pants on the ground song. Do you remember him? Like pants on the ground, looking like a fool with your pants on the ground. Gold in the mouth, hat turned sideways. I love that song. Pants hit the ground, call yourself a cool cat. That will always be my favorite. When I was a kid, I loved The Sound of Music. I would watch that movie over and over, and my brother hated it. He hated that I'd watch it all the time, and he'd ask my mom, please, why does she have to watch it again? And I loved it, and I picked out which girl I was, which sister. Like, I'm going to be her today, and I'd sing all her parts, and I'd try to do all of her dances and everything, and I loved it. I loved the family harmonies. I loved when the family would sing together, and it was so beautiful, and I'm like, I want that family, right? I want that to be my family. And it was so beautiful. It made me stop and pay attention. Because there's a melody. And when there are the harmonies to back it up, it makes this melody shine. If you have too many people singing the melody, it's not going to give the same kind of emotional impact, right? I mean, sometimes it can if it's done really well, but for the most part, it'll kind of weaken it. But when the harmonies come along and support it, everything is more beautiful. Everything is more wonderful. I have a clip here for you guys. Now, I didn't watch America's Got Talent, but sometimes I'll get reels on my social media, and this one popped up, and maybe you've seen it, maybe you haven't, but it made me stop in my tracks. I thought it was super cool. So let's play this.
I have no idea what's going on.
Okay, I'm going to start off my choir with the song lyrics above. So, how it's going to work, high voices, you are going to sing blue. Voices that are low, you are going to sing red. Be quiet. You wanted to act. You tried. Two, 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 three. Again. Two, two, two. Here comes the verse. Follow the arrow. Here we go.
Okay, pretty cool, right? I know, I want to clap for that. Now, was everybody perfect? No, but they literally never practiced that one time. I'm like, okay, that's cool. I like it. Okay, don't hate me. I actually don't like that song. Jared makes fun of me. He's like, you don't know music at all because I don't like Africa. But I see this and I'm like, wow, I stop in my tracks. And that's what happens when people come together and they unite and they back up each other. Paul, pulling it up again, verse 2, if you could pull up the scripture. Then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being in one spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but to each of you to the interests of others. The word here, simpsichoi, I know I butchered that one in the Greek. It's talking about being one-souled, being united together in one soul. It's this idea where affections are aligned, convictions are aligned, purposes are harmonized, all by the Holy Spirit. It reaches beyond just intellect, and it connects us on a different kind of level when we're of one soul and of one mind as the church. On a gravestone, there is a husband and wife, and they said, "We spoke the same things, we thought the same things, and we go the inseparable way to Hades." We're in harmony as a church when our hearts love the way that Jesus loved. But to do this, you have to sing the harmony. We can't be taking up the melody, putting ourselves first in this position, only thinking to our own good, trying to be the star, trying to be the standout. No, we're supposed to be the harmony that backs this up and makes it even more beautiful. I'm supposed to back you up. I'm supposed to back you up. I'm supposed to back you up. When I wake up in the morning, instead of thinking, okay, my schedule is so busy, I'm so tired, I'm so overwhelmed, which often happens, I need to wake up and think, all right, this morning, I have a meeting with Pastor Dan. How can I be praying for him? I mean, we all know how we could pray for Pastor Dan right now with his Achilles. If you think of him this week, pray for Pastor Dan and his Achilles. How can I pray for Pastor Dan? How can I be a support to him? When I'm meeting with each of you, I should be thinking of that. When I'm thinking ahead to my day, how I have this issue that's going on. I have more work because of it. I'm gonna have to resolve it. Oh, it's such a pain. Instead of that, there are other people affected by this. How can I support them? How can I bring them encouragement, even though I might have to do a little more work? It's a different change. It's a different heart. But when we do that, we harmonize together. We each lend what we can to the other person. It makes their light shine a little bit brighter. I tell this to my son all the time. He's very competitive, and he hates losing. I tell him, each person has a light. Don't blow out someone else's light. When he gets angry, he blows out everybody's light. When he loses, when his sisters beat him, he's blowing out lights. And I said, are you adding and making her light shine brighter, or are you blowing it out? Blowing it out. But instead, we're all supposed to make each other's light shine brighter. How can I make your light shine brighter today? That's how our hearts can be united. The way that Jesus loved us, the way that he served us, even though he was self-sufficient, he still laid his life down. I can recognize my citizenship is not to the USA. It's not to the red, white, and blue, although I love fireworks, love freedom. But my citizenship ultimately is to the citizenship of heaven. I am not self-sufficient. I am insufficient. I know that I can't do this on my own. I'm going to mess up sometimes. But instead of waiting 2 years, I'm gonna try to make amends right away, right? I'm gonna rely, I don't need to justify myself to you. I don't need to prove my worth to you because God has already done that. He said that you're worthy and I laid my life down for you. I need to stand together and I need to make sure I help others' lights to shine brighter. So I'm gonna pray us out today that we can go into the world this week and we can help others to shine, help their lights shine brighter. I'm gonna encourage you to live in Philippians. It's only 4 chapters. You could read it every day. You could read it once a week, but live it and breathe it this month. I want you to go in and look through the perspective of Paul. Look through the eyes of Jesus in him in the passages in chapter 2. I want you to put yourself in those situations and just live in Philippians. Okay, let's pray. God, thank you so much for this time together where we can be encouraged. This time together where we can refocus our minds, refocus our hearts, and focus them back on you and who you are. I pray that you help each one of us to check our minds and our values and align them with yours, align them with your kingdom, and that we can walk into the world and we can help each person's light shine a little bit brighter, and that others will know who you are more and more because of it. I pray this blessing on each person in this room. In Jesus' name, amen.